Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor for the Union Tribune. We are advancing the Padres-Cubs series, three of them at Petco Park. We're in a very odd portion of the schedule. Just had three road games. Now home for three, road for six, home for three, road for four. Then back home, and the schedule kind of eases in there where you got your week on, week off kind of thing, or, you know, week home, week road kind of thing. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Kevin, I'm uneasy today. I'm a little frazzled. I think there's some reasons going on, like my favorite TV show in the history of the world ended last night, bummed me out. There's a freaking eclipse going on as we speak. I've been on the phone dealing with an email issue with IT this morning. I'm frazzled.
Well, there's a game tonight. You can sit back, relax, and watch the Padres bullpen.
Exactly. Well, this is where we're going. One of the things that frazzles me is that Ha-Sung Kim, the guy who I think makes the routine plays all the time and the difficult plays most of the time, made two errors yesterday leading to a loss. And Kevin, it's been 10 days or 11 days or whatever it is. The season's still young, but the loss felt, again, a little significant to me. Make me feel better, please.
Okay, first I'll start with, I think one of the things that you have least to worry about is Ha-Sung Kim's defense. Right.
Fair. That was odd.
It was interesting too, because there were times yesterday, there was a couple of those kind of plays that Ha-Sung Kim makes that are probably at this point now considered routine, but like not everybody makes them. And you're like, you know, okay, so he made an error. He sailed a ball. That was weird. And now he made an inexplicable and I dare say inexcusable mistake of not holding on to the ball when he was going to make a tag that was, you know, the Padres were still going to have Robert Suarez come in the ninth. But like Johnny Brito, who, you know, has been good, bad, wasn't great yesterday. But he was going to get out of that, man. He was going to get out of that inning and get it to Robert Suarez in the ninth, and he didn't. And, yeah, right. that was on Ha-Sung Kim. But I think it's the thing that you have least to worry about.
Right. And here's the scenario again, right? Bottom of the eighth, first and third, one out. Johnny Brito pitching. A hard hit ball to Jake Cronenworth at first. He touches first base, throws to Kim at second. And the guy, the slider, was that Soler? Soler was out by, Kevin, 15 feet?
10 feet 12, at least.
10 feet yep. at least. Soler slides as the ball hits Ha-Sung Kim's glove, and the ball pops out and skitters into center field. And then yep. Soler scores on a single with the next batter.
It didn't even that. It was like it hit his shoulder. He was going to slide. It was crazy. It happens. It's not supposed to happen at the major league level. It's not supposed to happen to Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah. I know that some of this is probably language barrier, Kevin, but reading Ha-Sung Kim's quotes this morning, he even seemed a little bothered by it.
Oh, yeah. No, he was absolutely he was. It was clear that he'd been talked to by teammates, by Mike Schilt. Everyone was using the same language. I mean, even Ha-Sung Kim said, "I'm definitely human." At least he said that through his interpreter, David Lee. And that's the same language that Fernando Tatis Jr. used and the same language that Mike Schilt used was he's right. human. So because, you know, again, you talk about language barrier, talk about seeing a quote in print, even this one just live. It sounds a little odd if you don't have the context like, right. Hey, I'm human. That is not what Ha-Sung Kim was doing. He was not shrugging right. about it. He cost them the game, as did, I believe, going 0-for their last nine with runners in scoring position. You know, they're struggling there. Well, kind of. They are ranked sixth in the league with a .316 batting average with runners in scoring position, but they've had some rough games.
And they score in bunches, right? I mean, yes, what we're seeing is that.
Yeah, the season average at this point sort of is even more skewed because they score 13 runs. They go, you know, 8-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They have a 5-run inning. And then the rest of the time, you know, it's like the opposite.
Yeah, it's just a strange, I think, weekend again in San Francisco. One of the bright spots coming out of there is Jackson Merrill. You wrote about him in today's Padres Daily, which just gets better and better by the day, Kevin, just letting you know. But this is a guy who bats eighth or ninth, depending on whether Kyle Higashioka's in the lineup. He had a four-hit game yesterday. How long before we see him move a little bit further up in that order?
By the way, 40 times in the major leagues. I might have underplayed this because, you know, since 1900 is 124 years. 40 times a kid as young as 20 years old has 4-for-4 or better. There's a few of them tied for five. Pretty wild. The questions that you have are where to hit him, right? Who do you move down? Mm-hmm. How do you move it around? And also a little bit, is there value to having Jackson Merrill in the number nine spot to turn the lineup over?
The second leadoff hitter. Yeah.
That's something that is more like, you know, if other people are hitting, then it's like a value. At this point, it might be nice to kind of shake things up and get a guy who's getting on base, who is, I mean, that's really Jackson Merrill's strength right now, is like, you know, they believe that some power will come, right? Some gap to gap power will come. And he's shown it a little bit. But right now, it's the guy's has 2 8 pitch walks. He has a bunch of singles, and they're the kind that are, you know, he's finding holes. He's doing what he can with a 2-strike pitch and, you know, going the other way or up the middle. Do you bat him leadoff? Here's one of the things too. Heard from a lot of people in the organization early in the season and in spring training. And these are people high on Jackson Merrill, right? Don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. And that's like a real thing, right? Like, why is Luis Camposano not batting higher than seventh? You know what? It's a good spot for the catcher. Got a lot of work to do. Got a lot on his plate. He's a young guy. Not to say that he couldn't move up and probably will, as a matter of fact, he keeps hitting like this. But I don't know, Ryan, what do you think? Like, I mean, bat him leadoff, that seems like a big jump. On the other hand, I don't know.
Singles hitter who battles. I mean, to me, that says leadoff.
Runs.
Reruns. A guy who then you move Bogarts down a little bit. It makes you a little bit more balanced, right? Left-handed, right-handed, a little bit more.
It does. You wouldn't put him second. You got Cronenworth there right now, unless people haven't been paying attention and they're going off the, you know, preseason. What's Cronenworth doing batting third? Cronenworth's doing just fine batting third. Left-handed batter, right? Also the guy to break things up there. I don't think you have Jackson third. Do you have Jackson fifth? Do you have Profar fifth? Jackson sixth?
I mean, to me, he doesn't profile as a five hitter, but you know what? This team doesn't fit. Your father's, my father's sort of profile in terms of, you know, you want a fast guy leading off, you want your worst hitters hitting eighth, you know, like that's just not the way they profile. I mean, Xander Bogaerts, you know, has been hitting leadoff here, and he doesn't necessarily come off as your prototypical leadoff guy.
No, and he's I think making an attempt to see more pitches, but he's just not. People are throwing strikes and he's swinging and then he's getting on base sort of. Like, again, he'll have a nice game and then, you know, I think it's like a 314 on base percentage. So that's not good. Certainly not for a leadoff hitter. So, but again, 12 games in, and I keep putting this off, this whole like assessment of the quick start, right? Like they wanted a quick start. And in some ways, the seven innings with four or more runs leads the majors by two or three. The hard hit balls, the big innings, the big hit innings. They have done things far more often, stringing hits together than they were last year, especially the first 5 months of the season. But they're 5-7.
Right.
So, like, results aren't all you're talking about, as in wins loss, when you're talking about a quick start. But when does that end, right? And when do you lament losses? It's just you've got they've scored two runs in five games this year. And I think it's like four of the last six. And the bullpen has lost two leads when the team has led in the sixth inning. Was yesterday on the bullpen? I don't think so. Did they give up some hits? Sure. Could they have gotten out of it? Definitely. So, yeah, I don't know when it's too early to say it's too early.
Yeah, we're coming up on the 2 week anniversary of the season, so to speak. The Padres haven't won a series yet, and yet they're in second place in the division. So, like, what do you do?
On the strength of their four wins, I believe, right? Like their winning percentage is better, right? Mm-hmm. And they have two extra games, so.
The Dodgers. I'm sorry, the Diamondbacks and the Giants have had to play the Braves and the Dodgers. That's
there
not
you
good.
Go. You and know. By the way, the team coming in here just took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. So, you know, yeah. Where else, Ryan, before we head out?
Talk to me, baby. Yeah, man, let's talk Robert Suarez.
Okay.
This isn't Josh Hader, man. I mean, this is somebody who has been willing to do what it takes, even if that means going more than one inning. It's a little bit of an adventure sometimes with him out there, but what do you make of him in the closer's role so far?
Well, it's been solid so far, been really solid. You can't ask for much more. Yeah, I guess you could ask for some nice clean innings where it gives you the illusion that the guy's unhittable. But you know what? That's what you got with Josh Hader. And then it was like, two things. You know, he was human, as all closers are, and he wasn't giving you that extra, out when you needed it.
Right.
I'm sure that there were people wondering why Josh Hader was not in yesterday. It was asked of Mike Schilt, even though
not Josh Hader.
I'm sorry, Robert Suarez.
Yeah.
If they were wondering why Josh Hader was not in there, then, I don't know, but Robert Suarez. And I think that we knew why, because he had pitched, he'd gotten five outs on Wednesday, Thursday off, Friday off, Saturday came in. It was only 16 pitches or something, but he did pitch Saturday to close out a four-run lead. He can't go eight innings all the time. I've dug into the numbers. People don't go eight innings all the time, extra innings all the time. Right. They don't go more than three outs. And the guys that do, don't do it this early in the season, like multiple times, generally speaking, and don't do it without at least 5 days rest, generally speaking. And when they do it with one or two or three or days rest, it often doesn't go well.
Right.
This is not a video game. Though I haven't played MLB The Show in a few years, and maybe now it does show that you can't use your, you have a bullpen, video games, they do that now, Ryan. Remember how you could use the same pitcher every game back in the day? I don't know if you can still do that. Well, you can't do it in real life. And so I don't think it was a thing. Robert Suarez was going to pitch in the ninth inning yesterday. The Padres were up front. Like, he was able to do it in Korea. They had a week off afterward. He hadn't pitched before that. He was able to do it Wednesday against the Cardinals because they had a day off the next day. He hadn't pitched for 6 days. I think we'll see him do it again. Maybe he could do it tonight. Mm-hmm. But, I think he's been good. I knew when he was the anti-Josh Hader, air quotes, that this would come up the first time that he was not in there trying to get four outs. I knew, right. I knew it would come up.
Right. Yeah, Kevin, one of the things that I've thought about a couple of times is Johnny Brito sort of becoming a high leverage reliever. Obviously sort of the right-handed setup guy, quote unquote. Maybe we didn't think this was going to be him 2 months ago. Woosuck Go was brought in. He didn't make the team. They traded Steven Wilson to the White Sox for Dylan Cease. Is this where he's going to be sort of for a while? And who slides in there if he can't go?
Well, great topic, because on the night before it was Stephen Kolek, right? And Kolek again yesterday. And then Matsui comes in and gets his four outs. And then Brito comes in because they'd already used Kolek. And the matchup was for Brito. But Brito's really more of a multi-inning guy right now than a high leverage guy. You bring up though, Steven Wilson. Look, I think you make that swap all day, right? But you had to know when it happened, there was risk to it. Now, that is, by the way, assuming Steven Wilson was that dependable guy, which he usually was, but you knew that, look, that was going to be a short-term problem. Challenge was finding that guy. That guy right now is lefty Tom Cosgrove.
Yeah,
but it is. He can't go all the time either. And also there are some times, even though Tom does do a good job, lefties and righties, there are some times you want a different matchup. And you got Kolek who gets ground balls, and Brito gets ground balls. Wandy Peralta gets ground balls. That's what they were looking for yesterday. And by the way, Kolek got a ground ball that Kim made a great play on, but it wasn't a double play ball. There was just no possible way. And like we talked about, Brito got the ground ball. So, right now it's kind of a hybrid. The first choice is Tom Cosgrove.
Gotcha. Chicago Cubs come into town starting tonight, 3-game series. The weird 640, 640, 305 start Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
The Cubs, I'm not sure where they go afterward. I meant to look that up, but the Padres have the day off the next day and go to Los Angeles, so don't have to do the 1 o'clock start.
Yeah, I really only want to talk about tonight's matchup from a pitching standpoint. It's Yu Darvish versus Tijuana's Javier Assad.
Indeed.
What do you know about him, and what are we looking to see from Yu Darvish, who now throws a splitter?
Well, he has thrown the splitter. It's a new splitter.
Different splitter.
Well, not new, but it's like a slightly new grip, which is remarkable because, and don't take my word for it, other pitchers on the team and Ruben Niebla are like, this guy threw a changed his grip on his splitter before warming up in the second inning and then threw it 21 times in the game with the new grip and got seven misses on 14 swings. It's just incredible that Yu Darvish could do that. Javier Assad, six shutout against the Rockies in his first start, I believe. Mm-hmm. Look, Cubs are 6-3. They have scored, I believe, 49 runs in the last five games. But they're piecing it together. Their $8 million manager and their bench coach, Ryan Flaherty, almost said Ryan Finley. Not that you couldn't do the job, but it's not you. But former Padres bench coach slash hitting coach is the Cubs bench coach now, replacing former Padres manager Andy Green, who was the bench coach for the Cubs. Anyway, this is going to be a great matchup. Tomorrow's the TBD, the always dangerous TBD for the Cubs against Joe Musgrove. And then Wednesday – and this guy owns the Padres, Kyle Hendricks, against Dylan Cease. Here's the good news. You know, Matt Waldron could have had another quality start, and then the Padres would be on a five-start quality start streak. It appears that the pitching staff is who they thought they were going to be, at the risk of saying it too early. These guys really pitched well. Yeah, this is going to be a fun series. That NL Central right now is pretty tough.
Yep. Kevin, before we go, I always put you on the spot. You love it. You were just in San Francisco where they play that song by, is it Journey during the sixth? Okay. Maybe it's not Journey. Is it When the Lights Go Down in the City? Okay. Okay. The Cubs have Go Cubs Go. Dodgers have I Love LA. Yeah. Your favorite and or least favorite, I'll give you a choice here, weird team-specific song in baseball.
By far, Go Cubs Go. By far. I'm sorry. As anyone that knows me or follows me know, there's only one thing I root for. That's the best story for me for that day. I don't root for the Padres or against the Padres. I don't relish anything. I am very much about what is happening in this minute. Am I going to easily make deadline? How am I going to make deadline? How am I going to get down to the clubhouse? How late am I going to be up? It's all about me. However, I do not mind when the Cubs win at Wrigley Field because the crowd sings the song. They stay around. It is just a fantastic place. Visit sometime if you haven't.
I have a family member who lives in Chicago. I visit my
twin brother. Like you.
It looks like me, covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. And I try to go out there. And when I go, we go to Cubs games. And there's something cool about walking away from the stadium, trying to beat traffic, walking out of Wrigley and from blocks away, hearing everybody sing Go Cubs Go. And again, I am no fan of the Chicago Cubs. You'll find yourself whistling that just sort of for the next couple days if you've been around it. It's catchy.
Yes. Catchy. Yes, you do. Now, what song have I heard the most?
I Love LA.
It's unbelievable. Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Cubs 3-game series starting Monday night at Petco Park. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.